Good to see everybody. We're trying to understand what the parameters exactly are with respect to Yiharik V'al Yavor or Teharik V'al Tavor as it concerns Nara Murasa. The limud from Rotzeach is critical in terms of determining what the parameters of Karka Olam is a potential Ptur, Lanara Losasa Davar. There are three basic approaches that we've seen in the Rishonim. One approach, which was championed by Tosfos and the Baal HaMor, is a very, very broad view of Karka Olam, the fundamental asymmetry, the Maisa Bia, establishes the Halacha of Ihareg Val Yavor, but not Tehareg Val Tavor, rather Tavor Val Tehareg. That's supported by Girsos in different places. Masechta Yuma, for example, which we'll come back to in just a moment. Encountered by Girsos in other areas, such as in Psachim and in Sanhedrin. All the way at the other end of the spectrum, we have the view, basically, as articulated by Rabbeinu Chananel, V'lanara lo sasa davar is reserved for a situation where there's physical coercion. She can't do anything. Tafsa biyadayim. But otherwise, like the Baal HaTosfos articulated in the context of Rotzeach, any kind of action whatsoever, the slightest initiative crosses the threshold, and the halacha would remain Tiharik Val Tavor. We have a third shita, which we affiliated with Rav in the Kos of Sham, based on the sugya of Hela Libo Tina. Rav develops the idea of Hela Libo Tina, that if she's the one to initiate the relationship, that at that point, whatever happens in terms of the physicality, in terms of the actual interaction, the encounter, is less relevant because, of course, her initiation creates situation activating the halacha of the Gimel Chamuros, Tehareg Val Tavor. We've been studying parallel sugya to Aron and Psachim, studying the sugya in Yuma, and there we encountered a very important but somewhat challenging formulation of Rashi. Rashi speaks regarding the Girsa and the Gemara, that it would be Yehareg Val Yavor, but not Tehareg Val Tavor. So Rashi contrasts a situation where you have a male and a female. Levi, what does Rashi have to say?
I actually can't remember what he says on that Gemara.
Yaakov? She's Rashi. Yair?
Was that, that doesn't apply, that woman with Karka Olam, and that, that they may even be chayv to stay alive. That means, like, similar to Esther.
Good, sharpen it.
But she's passive here, so that...
So it's an onus that says to an individual, I want you to be Boel, Arusas Chavercha. Narum Rasa. The halacha there, indisputably, Yiharik V'al Yavor. But if you were to say to the woman, give you the same offer, or if you prefer the same threat, so the halacha would be Tavor Val Tehareg, says Rashi, because she is not mitzuva in such a situation to sacrifice her own life. The Rai Ladovar Esther. Question is, in terms of this Rashi, which part exactly do we emphasize? Should we opt for the first part of Rashi? We would assume that perhaps Rashi's understanding of the Ptur of Karka Olam is rather limited. Dealing with a situation which isn't just coercive in a generic sense, but an active threat to her life is being made. She was told explicitly, unless you have a Maisa Bia with this individual, you're an Nara Murasa, I'm going to kill you. And in that situation, the halacha of Lanara Lo Sasa Davar, Karka Olam, all of that would apply. But in a context which is coercive by nature, but there's no specific threats being made, it's hard to understand how exactly the Psak Halacha would come out, Tehareg Ve'al Tavor, or rather Tavor Ve'al Tehareg, is Rashi from the, Rashi was not dealing with that situation. On the other hand, Rashi's conclusion, V'rayo Davar Esther, I think Esther was being told each and every time, unless there's a Maisa Bia that results, I'm going to kill you. That doesn't really fit the fact pattern that Rashi introduces. Rather, it was a more generally coercive situation. More generally coercive situation. So we could take a broader approach, the approach of the Baal Amor, the approach of the Baal Yatosvos, and say that Rashi affiliates himself to a certain degree with that perspective. Maybe the Ravid, certainly Esther wasn't initiating. Come to parallel Gemara in just a moment that I wanted to add on just to gain some clarity in terms of Shitas Rashi on the matter. But Raila Dover Esther might mean that in a broader context, if she's replacing somebody who was killed for not following the will of the king, she can safely assume that she has very little agency with respect to relationship to Achashverosh. And Rashi isn't requiring anywhere near the level of standard that, say, Rabbeinu Chananel would, or even the Baal Yatosos in their second day would, based on Rotzeach, right? That even if Esther would show up, it would not mean that it was a situation of Tehareg Ve'al Tavor, but rather would fall under the rubric, the ongoing rubric of Tavor Ve'al Tehareg. This is what we were trying to figure out in Rashi. We also noted as a diuk, then Rashi says, Eina Mitzuva, that sort of points in the broader direction as well. All right, so that's as far as the Rashi in Masechta Yuma. Levi, let's just hold on for a second. I want to show a parallel Rashi in Masechta Megillah and gain some insight into Shitas Rashi in this regard as well. Okay. I was just looking at this last night with some of you. Thought it'd be relevant just to try to ferret out Shitas Rashi. Okay. Ilan Goldstein, go ahead. So here we are. Leich kenosis kol ayudim ad asher lo chados. It was a violation of the general practice.
Amar Rabbi Abba, shelo kadas hayash shabachol yom vayom ad achshav be'ones v'achshav beratzon. Kasher avarti avarti, kishem shavarti mi beis alba kach oved mimach.
Kach oved mimcha, isser labal, isser labowel, that once there's been an inappropriate relationship, is nus, so that will be the end of her marital relationship with Mordechai, as we know she deserved mayor, levas, altikri levas, el labayis. So the Gemara is saying that Esther taking the initiative now, Esther Malchus, she approaches Achashverosh. If she's the one to initiate the relationship, then at that point, it's no longer Be'ones, it's Be'ratzon, and that's the end of her relationship with Mordechai. Isser Labal, Isser Labal. Rashi?
Arachshav, ni
Valti
Be'ones, Arachshav, Mikan de Elech Midati Avadati Bimcha Aviasura Ani Lucha de Asia Sisrael Shenensa
Muteris Labailov. It's really Beones. That's Lanar Losasa Dovar Beratzon
Asura Labala
Asura Labail. Isra Labal Isra Labal. Okay. So it seems here pretty clear that Rashi is suggesting is that the only thing that renders Esther subject to the din Isser Labal, Isser Labal, and obviously Mordechai by extension as well, was the fact that at this point we can dispositively say that Esther is taking the initiative. Uvechein avo el hamelech asher lo chados v'chasher avadati avadati. Ben Sion, now what can we infer regarding Shitas Rashi and Yuma? We had a suffix as to how to read Rashi. Was Rashi saying the Ptur of Karka Olam applies only a situation where there's an active threat being made? Or in the broader sense, the Ptur of Karka Olam generally applies as long as we can assume it's a coercive situation. How does Rashi and Megillah inform our understanding of Rashi and Yuma? David?
I think it's like the second part where we emphasize Esther more. That even if it's like a general coercion, but not specific threat of death, she's not. It's Karpalim still.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. That is Shitas Rashi. It only crosses the threshold from being Karka Olam to Biratzon when she makes a deliberate, premeditated, conscious decision to approach Achashverosh in this fashion. After all, Achashverosh was somebody who, at some level, needed to be approached in this fashion. And for the sake of Hatzalas HaRabim, okay, that Esther felt that such a thing was justified, such a thing was necessary. Mordechai was suggesting such a thing was necessary, such a thing was justified. And there would be consequences for them personally, Islabalus or the Boel, but this is what needed to be done. But only a very clearly premeditated, calculated decision predicated on the initiative of Esther could render the halacha Islabalus or the Boel to consider this a ma'is of Giloy Arayos. Otherwise, we would apply the halacha of Karka Olam, where Karka Olam applies. The din is Tavor Val Tiharig. Now, the other Rishonim wondered then, okay, if indeed this is now crossing over into an area about which you would say it's no longer Karka Olam, so that means the halacha is Tiharig Val Tavor. Okay, right? It's no longer Tavor Val Tiharig, it's not Karka Olam, right? It's no longer protected by Vlanar Losa Sadavar. So what gives Esther the right to do this? So let's take a look at Tosis and the Rajba. This will be sort of a prelude to what we see in Sanhedrin. Okay. So Tosfos wonders. Okay. Markovich, go ahead. Tosfos. Leave, go ahead. Tosfos. You're on mute. Leave. Can you unmute yourself and read Tosfos?
Sorry, Rabbi. I don't know. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Tosfos, yeah. Kashem shavadati, bibes abba, kachavadati mimach. Okay. Bim tomar, amai lohaya, migrasha, bitehei muteres.
So there's a halach in general. There's a halach in general of an iser machzir gushaso v'halchav aisel ishacher lo siyad. She's not allowed at that point to return back to her original marriage, but that only applies if she actually gets married to the second person, which is obviously impossible in the context of a nachri.
I don't know.
There was concern that if the whole point was to save the Jewish people anyway, so they find out that Esther, the entire time, had been, Vashti got killed for not showing up to the party, right, the Chaser Malchus, you can imagine what would have happened to Esther and to the Jewish people if it turns out that everybody finds out that Esther's been, quote-unquote, unfaithful to the king. Okay, so Yare Penis Parsim Adavar Malchus. Even though, technically speaking, this would have been a possibility, right, to issue a divorce document, and then, you know, there would be no Iser Machzir Grushas. So the Rajba, go ahead, leave.
So, Mashakasu Bagada. Bani kasher avadati avadati. Kashem shavadati mi beis abba kak avadati mima. Mimcha. Now, hekshu betosbos.
Right, there's no iser of machzer grushaso of remarrying a woman that you yourself divorced if in the interim she doesn't have a marriage, but there's just a lack of fidelity. Tirtu.
Shehaya yare lagirsha lefi shakomasa gets beedim.
Shema is parsing vado hadavar. Okay. Ve'ein nachon ve'einai. But the Rashba says it's impossible.
v'yichsov lo bekasav yado shehu kasher d'oraisa.
Okay, that you don't need the, you don't need Edom around until the very end anyway, so he could be the sofer. Presumably Mordechai and the Sanhedrin knew how to write a proper get, the Shema. Okay.
V'tov haya lo lasos kindaha Esther, hechi dehashta birtzona, nivalta viterig.
So the Esther, hechi avdahachi, dehashta birtzona nivalas, if she's really doing this of her own volition, v'tehareg v'al tavor. So that would mean that the din is Teharik Val Tavor. V'ilo ayimigarisha b'ksav yado lo'aysa veris l'sar arayus achamur v'lo'aysa neseris l'mordechai. So the Rashba ends up by throwing up his hands and waving the white flag. It's a very critical halachic point that has to be extracted from this Rashba. What is it? What's the Rashba suggesting? That Kol's man Baron Holtz.
Well, Anna, it's kind of weird because he's saying, like, doing it beratzon is tiharik bel tavor. But, like, doing it beratzon implies that you're not going to, like, be tiharik bel tavor because it's not beratzon. Whatever.
This is Rashba saying that once she's no longer protected, she's no longer encompassed under the realm of Karkolim. We can all agree to that, right? So then the halacha is tiharik bel tavor. So how is it possible that she'd be able to move forward on that basis? Right? So the Rashba is asking the question frontally. How's Esther permitted to do this? But there's a nuance to the Rashba. This is where the Rashba felt. He had nothing to do but to throw up his hands. So what was the nuance in the Rashba? The Rashba was clearing on the issue of Tosfos. So Ilan, what's the Rashba very subtly suggesting? That maybe we would say
he could have written the get in his own handwriting, which is kasher d'oraisa, and it would save her from, I guess, a worse avera. But they're both.
So say it out. To say you're getting close. Say it. Say it. What's the Rashba really suggesting?
That to the iser of I guess a married woman to a goy is worse than the pnuya to a goy.
No question. But what's the import of what he's saying? Everybody would agree to that.
And it's Tearig
Val Tavor. So it's Tearig Val Tavor, so there's no way that she could have done it unless...
Unless
your,
it was
Onis. But it can't be Onis, because it's by definition Beratzon. What's the Rashba implying? That if there was no other way...
That's also Rabbi.
Yes! The whole line of thinking in the Rashba is once Tosfos introduces a solution, right, which could at least reduce the level of Aveira involved, of course they'd be obligated to take that solution. That's where the Rashba is so flummoxed. It's saying, Meshiv and Aldevei Agada, there's nothing to explain here. But you follow? The Rashba is saying that if there was a solution that could have rendered this not a formal act of Giloy Arayos, but just the Bilas Nus, she would no longer be an Eishes Ish, at least if they were divorced, on a Daraisa level. So of course they had to take that option. Of course they had to take that option. What the Rashba is insinuating is, it's one thing to say, if there was no other way for her to save Klal Yisrael, so maybe we'd say, we would allow her to, this is what we call the idea of Aveira Lishma, right, that she had no choice but for this, the Atzalas HaRabim, so maybe we could justify even the Gimel Chamuros, maybe. But if there was a way to reduce the gravity of the Isser involved, of course she'd be obligated to do so. Of course. That's precisely what the Rashba is suggesting. So he's very bothered by Tosfos. What's the answer for Tosfos? Levi, what's the answer for Tosfos? What was Tosfos saying? I think the Rashba missed Tosfos.
Did she? Well, because she wasn't, what you call it, she didn't have to be Tearig Val Tavor.
No. Mermelstein, what's the answer for Tosfos?
That actually doing the get would have threatened Hatzalas Rabbi.
Thank you. That's exactly the answer for Tosfos. It wasn't just a chashash. If the entire premise of the act, if the entire basis The matir, if you will, if it is a matir, is Hatzalas Harabim. So he had no senes. Of course, it had to be done in a way that would protect the Rabbim. And if they had a chashash that going in this direction would have compromised that because people would have found out somehow it was a Maisa Edim, Kala Islahu, right? The Edim are going to generate a kol, just like a shtar. So then the halachic result would be is that nobody's going to be saved and there would just be an Avera. That's what Tosfos was saying. So I don't think we have to resort to the Rashba's Ein Meshivin al Divrei Agada. What Tosfos was saying was the only thing that could justify this is Hatzalas HaRabim. But to make sure there was really Hatzalas HaRabim, they couldn't afford to do Al Yedei Get. Eitan, you're absolutely correct. That's what Tosfos had in mind. Okay, so we came on to this Gemara for a very specific reason. And we'll circle back to Levi for a second, then Noam, then Shimi. And we wanted to understand what is Shitas Rashi exactly on this question of Tehareg v'al Tavor versus Tavor v'al Tehareg versus what is protected by Karka Olam v'lanasar v'nara losasa davar and when does it become active to the point where she's obligated to lay down her life. For the man, again, there's no question, in Kishrei el Das. There's no way for him to be involved. Tehareg v'al Yavor in all cases. Even more than Rotseach, I should add. Because Rotseach, you allow yourself to be catapulted on somebody. When it comes to Arayos, it's even more chamor. There's no scope of activities that would be permissible for the man. For her, we see Tosos, we have the Balamor, we have the Ravid. Where does Rashi come down on the issue? It seems clear from the Gemara Masechet Megillah, Rashi's interpretation, when you combine it with Rashi and Yuma, that Rashi allowed for far more than Rabbeinu Chananel did. Now, I'm not saying that he's prepared to go quite as far as the Baal HaMor. That I think would be speculative. But Rashi is suggesting, Rayu Davar Esther, that as long as, in general, the context is a coercive one, where Esther isn't doing anything to volunteer to be with Achashverosh, the halacha would remain, Karka Olam, the halacha would remain, Tavar V'al Teharig. In a premeditated situation, where she's calculating and verbalizing, uvechein avo el hamelech, avo tarte mashma, el hamelech, so that already crosses the threshold, that's a maisa avera, isser labal isser labowel, that in general, as well the other Rishonim notes, would clearly be tehareg v'al tavor, and the only possible justification is, of course, that salas harabim. That's the issue between the Baal HaTosfos and the Rashba. The Rashba wonders, shouldn't she have to minimize the Avera? Right, Al Yedei Get, and throws up his hands, saying, Meshivin Al Divrei Agada. Clearly, I think the Baal HaTosfos had in mind that you're not going to be a Hatzalas HaRabim to speak of if you're going to go down the path of Edim. Okay, Levi, Noam, Shimi.
Rabbi, how are we so certain that the case of Esther isn't one of direct, you know, of direct onus? Like, how do we know that it's like, okay, maybe it's like you're saying that, you know, it's just a general like, idea, like, she knows what's gonna happen, she knows what did happen to Vashti, but also I could say maybe, so, you know, maybe it's totally like, what makes you think there aren't armed guards around Ahasuerus all the time, ready to kill anyone at any moment, just like Haman, if Naaman Chafu, had the words that Miki Amalek Neaman Chafu, that literally, you know, on a second's notice, they're ready to just intuit what Achashverosh's mood and kill people based on that. So like, what, you know, so how do you know something like that with Esther?
I fully concede that to be the, that's what I mean when I say the general context of coercion.
Right, but I mean literally, like, every single time it is like she sees, like, the you know, there's a guy with a sword right there, like, in the room, every single time it happens.
No, that I think is too far. I think it's generally a coercive context. She had every reason to believe that any violation could result in her death. But again, I was being very textualist in terms of my approach to Rashi. It wasn't a situation where an anus comes along and says, "He bali lo," or "I'm going to kill you." You don't have that fact pattern. That's all I was suggesting. Is that really what you need? Okay, that's that, and I think we see Raila Dover Esther, especially in conjunction with the Rashi and Megillah, that as long as she wasn't the one who was initiating any particular encounter, right? And again, this is Meduyak in the Megillah as well. You know, Loni Kresi Lavol Amelach Zesh Lo Shim Yom. It seems like he was always the one that was initiating, right? She couldn't actually go in without being invited. Okay, Shimi.
You said that for Reshba, he wanted Esther to minimize the aver as much as possible. But wouldn't they getting the get have? And that Tosfot said that because of that Rabin, they were worried that the Achashverosh would find out about the get. But wouldn't they have gotten the get like before Esther was sent to the palace?
Oh, the idea is they do the Maisa get, right? And then everybody's going to find out because, you know, Islay Kala. And then that way there's going to be no way to save the Jewish people.
Wait, when would they be getting the get?
Right then and there, Perek Dalad.
Oh, okay, fine.
Noam.
Yeah, I was just wondering, why do Tosfot and Rashba assume that they had mitzvah Drabanan, like, before the second Beit HaMikdash? Like, I guess we know that they had, like, the Tila Yadayim the Shlomo instituted that, but, like, other stuff, how would we know that that they had to have two witnesses for a get?
Oh, so the idea that the witnesses are necessary, again, the Ksav Yad point is just that you don't actually need the witnesses there for that section. In terms of the historicity, I don't know. how Gittin were done during the period of between Chorban Bayis Rishon and Chorban Bayis Sheni. But Rishonim are assuming that it was done, you know, the way that, you know, Halacha was basically practiced. You know, the Chazal developed these ideas. And the role of Edim in a get. So they're assuming that this was for purposes of halachic discussion, they're assuming that this was the case. So what actually went on historically, you know, ask the professors. That's not my expertise. All right. Okay. All right. One more, Rami.
Going back to Rashi for a second, real quickly. Rashi is saying that there was an ongoing concept of onis. I'm just trying to, it's more of a clarification question. Was there an ongoing concept of Ones and therefore Eino Mitzuva Limsor Nafsha?
Well, that's what you're trying to figure out. We're trying to figure out what Rashi and Yuma means. I was very interested by that Rashi. Does it have to be a very specific situation where there's a direct threat? Somebody verbalizes a threat, do this or I'll kill you. And that's when we say, Tavar v'alti harig, or do we take a broader approach? Like Raila Dover Esther, that there's really no mitzvah for her to lay down her life. She's always, to a certain extent, passive. So I think we were able to prove, based on the Gemara and Megillah, is that Rashi affiliates himself with those that say, it's not as if any action on her part takes her out of the Karka Olam. He's not the Baal HaMor, and he's not the second day in Tosfos, right? The question is, how much initiative is necessary? There's a certain parallel between Rashi and the Ravid in the sense that if she is the one that's initiating, whether it's based on Halaliba Tina or Halaliba Machshava Lahatzalas Harabim, that's going to render her no longer Begether Karkol. That's the point. Okay. So we'd started the Sugya in Sanhedrin. The Girsa of the Sugya in Sanhedrin matches our Girsa in terms of Teharig Val Tavor. And we had discussed a little bit the Shas HaShmad question. Okay, Afilu Mitzvah Kala, B'Shas HaShmad, the Halacha would be Yehareg Val Yavor. We know that Rashi had a bit of a twist, or a double twist, when it came to defining Shas HaShmad. What was it, the two Chidushim in Rashi? Even though the Gemara speaks about Mitzvah Kala, what does Rashi say? Shimi?
Minhag.
And number two, how else does Rashi learn Shas HaShmad? This is not an obvious point at all. Eitan?
We don't want to incentivize the Akram from intimidating us.
Kidei lahamrich halavavos, which you pin with, Eitan, go ahead. That is Rashi l'shitaso, because Rashi talks about Shas HaShmad as being dafka.
trying to get us to violate religious, like religious persecution.
Dafka. Ilan?
Befarhes.
Yeah. Right. The Rashi understands Shas Hashmad as relating to situation in Befarhesia. Okay? That's not, this doesn't say that in the Gemara. In fact, many Rishonim related to them as three separate categories. The Gimel Chamuros, Shas Hashmad, and Farhesia. Okay, so that's where we were holding in the Gemara. Let's go back and read over that section. Okay. Kiyasa Ravin, Kiyasa Ravdimi rather than Rabbi Yochanan. Who's reading? Mazin, go ahead. Kiyasa Ravdimi Rabbi Yochanan, Shalal Shal Bishas Xeris Hamalchus. Okay, so that's what we saw. Rashi commenting the Arkas said the Misana, the Surah Chanal. By the way, that's how Targum Unklos renders. Those of us in the Shnai Mikra Chabu remember I made a big deal of this when we were back in Parshas Lech Lecha. Imichut v'ad Surah Chanal. Surah Chanal, Targum Unklos renders this as Arkas said the Misana. Right, it would have been a Chil Hashem for Avram to take the money of Sodom. So when we're dealing with Befarhesia, Safilu Mitzvah Kala, even if we're not dealing with the Gimel Chamuros, Kala, as opposed to Chamura, the din is Yehareg Val Yavor, and that is, what is the Mitzvah Kala? Afilu Lishinuye Arkisa Dimisa'ano. Okay. So we have these two Limudim, name of Rabbi Yochanan. One of them is related to Rav Dimi. The other is related by Ravin, traveling back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Pavel. One of them is Gzeres HaMalchus. The other one is Befarhesia. And Rashi seemed to think that Shas HaShmad had to also be Befarhesia, Lahami Chalavavos, etc. Okay. So the question is, what's the definition of Befarhesia?
V'kama Befarhesia, Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, In Befarhesia, Behusa Mi'asura B'nei Adam, Shiti Yisraelim B'inyan Tehtiv, V'nikta Shibchoch B'nei Yisrael.
Okay. So that's a very important point. So what's the Mechayev now? Now? Again, the question is whether we can go back and apply this, let's say, to Shas HaShmad, or to go back and apply this to the Gimel Chamuros. But in terms of a situation of Befarhesia, what's the Mechayev? Why do we have to, according to the Gemara, lay down our lives? Situation of Befarhesia, however the Gemara is going to define that in a second. Why do we have to do it, Yehuda? What's the Mechayiv?
If you do it in public, so at least if you think like Rashi, then it would show publicly that you're submitting to the non-Jewish will, but also it would be that you can influence others to believe that you're allowed to violate.
What does the Gemara say?
That because that's considered being Adish Hashem Tzachman Israel.
It's a Chilul Hashem. V'nikdashti B'Tzachman Israel. So the Mechayiv of Yehareg Val Yavor, in the situation of Befarhesia, the Gemara states, V'nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael. Now, whether or not that's always, it happens to be that Shitas HaRambam is that's always the Mechayiv. The point was debated by the Ramban and the Baal Amar, but here it's very clear that at least in this situation of Befarhesia, the Mechayiv is Kiddush Hashem, or Chilul Hashem is the case maybe. So Bari Rabbi Yirmiyah.
Bari Rabbi Yirmiyah, Tish Yisrael v'nachri echad, Mahu tashma, Sani Rav Yanai, Achavad Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Asya soch soch ksiv, Hachad nikdash yibzoch me Yisrael, ksiv hasam, Hadalu mitocha ida hazos, Ma lahalan asara kul Yisrael, Avkan asara kul Yisrael.
Gemara says, none of this, you know, defining a tzibor, a tisha v'katan, it could be mitzari of the cut. No. Asara v'chulu Yisrael. Okay? That's the definition. There's no wiggle room here.
Esther v'farhesia. Have Amar
so Esther Farhesi Havi Amir Abaye
Esther Karka Olam Haisa Rava Amar Hanash Atzman Shani.
Okay, let's stop right here. Now we have a critical turning point in our sukya. So Esther Farhesi Havi. Esther Farhesi Havi. So that should be a pretty shocking line in the Gemara. Before we get to the two different answers, what the two different answers are trying to say, so Esther Karka Olam, or Hanas Atzman Shaini, so the question itself is a very, very strange question. Esther Farhesi Havi. So it would appear that the Gemara is making a dramatic concession. Dramatic concession. Avi, what concession is the Gemara making? That Esther's actions would have only been begeder tehareg v'altavor from the standpoint of as opposed to So this is the sugya. And you can't tell me that's because the Gemara assumed already that Esther is karka olam. No, that's the answer. So this is obviously a very, very difficult line in the Gemara, right, Avi? What does the Gemara mean about Esther Farhesi Havi? As if that was the only reason that she'd have had to lay down her life. Whatever happened to the Gimel Chamuros? That's where the Gemara started. Avodah Zarah, Shvichzdam, Gilei Arayos. Kikasher Yakum Yishal Re'eh Ritzacho Nefesh. Kena Davar Azeh. Bernholtz?
I have an answer and a separate question. Maybe the Gemara is not assuming that they were married. Maybe it's just saying a mitzvah kala the Farhesia, which is what Esther was at this point in the Gemara, is going to be a chayav.
Okay, that's an interesting solution. Whether or not that would work for every Rishon is a very important question. I'll get to that later in the week, but I like that idea. Okay, good.
And then I also have a question. I thought Farhesia means that like 10 people have to be watching. Does it just mean 10 people to know about it?
Okay, so that's very important. that's another critical issue. We're going to be dealing with that. But if we just finished defining for Hesias, we dashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, and the Gemara was very clear, right? No, the Gemara didn't leave us any wiggle room, right? Asara v'chulu Yisrael, so it's a very difficult point to understand. What might you argue? But the Gemara here is expanding the definition of Farhesi in which way? Noam, answer your own question.
That doesn't like mean presence. It means, I guess, knowledge.
Exactly. So, Besoch B'nai Yisrael, there's not a din of Tefillah B'tzibur, that there actually has to be a tziruf, where everybody's standing around, right? But the general awareness of, the entire kingdom of 127 provinces, that she's the queen, so that means that there are certain obligations that come along with that, and that's enough to make it Befarhesia. Okay, that's not so obvious based on the previous line of the Gemara, I'll agree with you, but I think that question can be readily solved. Now, in terms of the more fundamental halachic issue of Gilei Arayos, you propose an interesting solution, right? We're not holding like Reb Meir, okay? And that could very well be. There's no indication in this Gemara that the Gemara has integrated that point. This is in the Gemara in Masechet Megillah. Where the Gemara is working off the assumption of Kasher Avati Mi Beis Abakach Avid Mincha, okay? Point is an interesting solution. Avi, go ahead. Avi, then Yehuda.
I think this is a little radical, but maybe the Gemara is saying that Karka Olam is so strong that it totally takes it out of the Geder of Gilei Arayos. And then Abaye is saying that Ein Achinami is not even a mitzvah. Karka Olam makes it not even a mitzvah kala.
So you're proposing that the Gemara really had in mind Karka Olam when it posed the question. Abaye's answer is just a funny read of the Gemara. I think it's actually a very creative solution, but it doesn't appear to me that it's a tenable reading of the Gemara, because what you're presupposing is the Gemara already knew about Karka Olam. which I don't think is a fair assumption based on Abaye's response. It'd be a very strange thing. Abaye says, no, 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 karka olam even means it's not a mitzvah kala. But the originality was impressive. Yehuda.
Maybe Gemara is kind of operating with the silent afilu here, that it's not the reason why Esther's chayav is that she's bar hesya, but she's even before hesya, we're going to say that this is okay. It's one thing to do with Gemara Chamuros, and it's even worse to do it before hesya, which is Shema.
Okay, but it's just the flow of the Gemara would be very difficult if that were true, right? You'd have to concede that. That'd be a very strange way of asking the question. We just finished talking about the category of the Gimel Chamuros. Then we moved on to Shas Hashmad, admittedly, which Rashi conflates with Befar Hesia. Then we moved on to Far Hesia and Mitzvah Kala, and the Gemara says, oh, but Esther was Far Hesia. So to say that it's really the Gimel Chamuros is a very, would be very, very difficult reading of the Gemara. It'd be a bizarre way for the Gemara to make that point. Well, not just bizarre, I think even misleading would be the case. Let me see, I saw some hands before. Levi, was that you?
No. Was that me?
Oh, I thought I saw your hand before. Well, what do you think anyway?
I think I have another question, which, I mean, I guess you sort of asked it. But it's not just whatever happened to Gilaritis, but also, now how do we understand Karka Olam? Because if the problem isn't Gilaritis anymore, then is Karka Olam really relevant to Gilaritis? It sounds from every Rishon that it is.
Okay.
But it seems from here that, you know, not necessarily.
Right, very good. If it's only being used at the level of Mitzvah Kala, maybe it would even solve the problem of Gilaritis. Excellent. And Levi, that's true, especially if you believe the Mechayiv is different. Let's say you believe the Mechayiv for Farhesia is Chil HaShem, so there's no Chil HaShem in a Karka Olam, but maybe when it comes to Gimel Chamuros, just being involved in general is the problem. It's what we call the Maisa Aveira. Okay, so what you're saying is very good. Ilan.
Well, if it's a Gimel Aveiros Chamuros, and it's compared to Ritzicha, and like a Pasuk, Ki Kasher Yaku Mishamei Umratzocho Nefesh Kina Dabar Hazeh, it's not so far-fetched to say it's because of the Chumra Savera, and the Eishas Ish with the Yisrael is much bigger Avera in Esther Kares than with a Goy. So we would say that Inachinami, if we want to call it Gilui Arayos, it's not enough of Gilui Arayos to say that it's a Yehareg Val Yavur, a Tehareg Val Tavur.
You mean, because you're saying basically the Gemara is not making an Abizrayu kind of an assumption. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so let's take a look at Rashi. Yeah, Vel Esther Farhesia Havi. How does Rashi learn?
Yeah, go ahead, Yehuda.
Oh. Sounds like Rashi's saying she had the option, but she didn't sacrifice her life. She rather chose v'nivla lovid kochavim. Okay, so what Rashi's saying is basically, you know, there's some choice involved here. Okay, so Abaye's response is, well, maybe not so fast, because karka olam. Go ahead, Yehuda.
I lost place. Give me 1 second.
Here, I'll highlight it for you, if you want to look here. Okay.
Karka olam here.
Oh. There's no Maisa Aveira. That's what Abaye is driving at. You can't say, I feel the mitzvah kala tehareg ve'al tavor, because tavor implies that there's a Maisa Aveira. Karkola means that there's no Maisa Aveira. Rava disagrees, apparently. And Rava says, there's a Maisa Aveira, but... Oh, okay. So this is very important. There's enormous machlokas, the Shitas Rashi, that we have to understand in terms of the question of why it is that Esther being Bifar Hesia does not result in the din of Tehareg Val Tavor. A completely different approach, Abaye versus Rava. So let's at least hammer down this Nakuda, and then we'll, you guys can take some time for Chavrusa and prepare the rest of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Look at Tosos very carefully, because that's what we're going to do tomorrow, finish the entire Gemara, Rashi, Tosos. So what is in the Kuda Samachokes between Abaye and Rava as to how exactly we can exonerate Esther? What is the exculpatory factor? Eitan?
Is there a Masa Avera here?
So Abaya understood that it would have been Tehareg Val Tavor as long as there was a Maisa Avera. But there isn't. Rava, Chora disagrees. He says there's a Maisa Avera, but that's not the Mechayev. When you're dealing with Bifar Hesya, what was the Mekar? What was the Mechayev? That Bifar Hesya Afilu Mitzvah Kala? Go ahead, Eitan. You're carrying the ball.
Meaning Dashki was up in Israel.
Outstanding. So if there's no Chil Hashem, it doesn't matter if there's a Ma'is Avera. There's a Ma'is Avera. But the Halacha is Tavor Ve'al Tehareg. See, according to Abayi, Tavor Ve'al Tehareg is a misnomer. It's a misnomer. There's no Avera. Who Osa Ba Ma'isa? It's not Tavor Ve'al Tehareg. She didn't do anything. Karka Olam. Karka Olam Kishmo Kain Hu. Literally nothing. Karka Olam. So Rava disagrees. Rava thinks, no, there's a Ma'isa Aveira right here. So even though this debate is being had at the level of the Mitzvah Kala, its implications are obviously very, very, very far-reaching with respect to how we would plug this back in at the level of the Gimel Chamuros. So again, Rava is taking the position that apparently she's not Karka Olam. You'd have to wonder why. Why is she not Karka Olam? This isn't just V'chasher Avadati Avadati. This isn't just, you know, from Perek Peyon. The question is, what's driving that for Rava? Does Rava take the position that unless Rabbeinu Chananu, that somebody's actively forcing you, right? Or maybe one way of understanding Rashi and Yoma, is Rava basically articulating that kind of a position? You can't claim Karka Olam unless a person is literally forced physically or it's verbalized in that way. Levi and I were discussing. So you have a profound machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Is there a Maisa Avera or is there no Maisa Avera? According to Rava, there's a Maisa Avera, but it doesn't matter because you're allowed to have a Maisa Avera as long as there's no Chil Hashem. And there's no Chil Hashem in a situation where it's because Achashverosh is more animal than he is human and Hanas Atzman Shiny. We'll talk about the Kvaki and the Dimuniki more tomorrow. Noam?
Oh yeah, I have a question on that. Whatever happened to L'hamichet halavavos? Because, you know, giving in to the non-Jews, even if it's like the Hanas Atzman, that should still be a problem.
That was only Din B'Shas HaShemat.
Okay. Thanks.
Rami?
When is it?
See, I'm okay as long as you don't start asking me about historical precedents for Shas HaShemad in the Second Commonwealth. Go ahead, Rami.
When is it that we give her the option of saying, oh, you get to choose between dying and not dying, like what Rashi is saying, if we're understanding Rashi correctly? Meaning, like, the halacha is either Yehareg Val Yavor or Yavor Val Yehareg. When is it that we give her a choice between those two, that you get to choose?
Well, again, we already pointed out that according to some Rishonim, you never get to choose. It's either one or the other. If it's not Yiharik Val Yavor, then you're Mechuyav, right? That's the Rambam's definition. V'chai Bohem means Yavor Val Yiharik. Other Rishonim would say, you know, maybe there's a Heter. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ivan.
Does Rebbe not hold by the Sfar of Karkolam, or he holds by it, he just doesn't think that Esther was?
That's the big question. That's what we're trying to figure out. That's what we're trying to say. Is what exactly is Rav articulating prior to Perek Dalet? Is he saying that you would really need like Rabbeinu Chananel? You know, he'd have to grab her and you know, or is he saying that you need like one understanding of Rashi, Yuma, Pebez, that he would literally have had to say to her every single time, I will kill you unless you do this? That's a good question. It's a very good question. That's what I was trying to get at before. Sorry if that wasn't clear. Levi.
I forgot what it was I wanted to say.
It's okay. The mechayev in that situation is only ad sheyeshev v'yisirei libo. There won't be any, you know, v'yaharig v'al yavor in this kind of a situation. It's just takva love mishnasa. Okay. So to review very briefly what we spoke about today, we're trying to pin down Shitas Rashi. We combined Rashi and Yuma with Rashi and Megillah. Seems like Rashi requires some degree of initiative to cross the threshold out of the protection of Elanara Velosasa Davar, Karka Olam, into the realm of Teharek Val Tavor. The Balei HaTosos say that there was a concern that if they went the route of Machzer Grushaso, that it would compromise the entire idea. The Rajbah says, look, if there was another option, they would have to take the lesser Avera. So he thinks, you know, in Meshivan al Devrei Agada, they can't really make sense of what Tosos is trying to say. And we tried to explain Tosos very clearly. What Tosos is trying to say is that there was no other option, because to try to reduce the Avera would have compromised the idea of Hatzalas HaRabim, which even the Rashbah implicitly seems to suggest would have been a justification for Esther to cross over into the realm of Teharik Val Tavor. Back in the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, we went through the cases again, the Gimel Chamuros, Shas HaShmad, and then we came to the case of Farhesia. Farhesia seems to have a very narrow definition based on the initial Gemara of Bifnei Asar Miyisrael, but then we talk about just having knowledge as maybe being sufficient for Farhesia, as Noam pointed out. And the question is, what exactly is the Gemara asking? Vel Esther Farhesia Havi, if that's what the Gemara is presenting, that the only issue with Esther is the fact that Esther was Bifarhesia, makes it sound like there's no issue of Gilui Arayos, not Inu V'chol Abizrayo, not any kind of a Gilui Arayos. And that's something that we're going to have to pursue. That's obviously the Nikudas HaPsicha for the discussion of the Balei HaTosos. But be that as it may, we try to look at the answers of the Gemara. So Abayi says, yeah, but Karka Olam, meaning that there's no Maisa Avera. Hu Osa Ba Maisa V'yonasa V'hi Einena Osa Maisa. And Rava's position is, certainly, there is a Maisa here. But since the Mechayiv, in the context of Bifarhesia, is only Chil Hashem, as the Gemara quotes, V'nikdashti B'soch Bnei Yisrael, here there's a Maisa Avera, but it's not a Chil Hashem. It's not a Chil Hashem, because Chil Hashem means that it's a religious attack. What Achashverosh is doing had nothing to do with religion of any kind. Not Jewish religion, not Persian religion. It was the ultimate case of Hanas Atzmo. That's who Achashverosh was. And that justifies it. That means that whatever Esther's involvement was never a Chil Hashem. Okay. So we'll pick it up based on the extension of the Gemara tomorrow, the Kavaki Dimuniki. God willing, from there, we'll be able to take the next steps into the Balei HaTosfos and bring things back to the Ramban and the Ran in our sugya, and hopefully we'll have some time left on Thursday, you know, to pursue Shitas HaRambam. We can't finish a sugya without looking at Shitas HaRambam, so that'll be important as well. Okay, so if people could take the time that remains now, I don't know what the most updated version of the schedule is, but however much time you have to finish off the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rashi, Tosfos, that we will be able to move pretty quickly tomorrow, you know, through the different issues that the Balei HaTosfos raise. Okay. Shkoch, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day, Rabbi.
Yeah, Rabbi. Oh, sorry, Levi. Levi has a question first.
Yeah, Levi, go ahead.